Sorry for interrupting your podcast for just one moment. My name is Todd Friel. I'm the executive director of Fortis Institute. We are in the middle of our spring matching gift campaign, No Retreat. Why did we call it that? Because the world wants us to retreat. They want us to water down truth. They want us to dull the sharp edges of the gospel. And we're determined to not retreat, to not back down, to stand firm. In fact, we're determined to get even louder. Why? We want to exalt our King, and we want people to know our amazing Savior. We want churches strengthened. We want families to thrive. If that resonates with you, would you please consider joining us as a gospel partner right now during our spring match giving campaign, No Retreat, All Gifts Doubled. Right now, to learn more, visit fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are continuing to talk about this wonderful, glorious doctrine that so many people haven't spent enough time thinking about, and that is our union with Christ. What are some things that we are united with? Right? United with here. Sometimes you'll hear of mergers, maybe two churches that merge together. Obviously, we've already used the illustration last time about marriage, when the commoner marries the prince and she becomes the princess with all the rights and privileges of being the princess of some obscure little town in or little country in Europe that we kind of feel like we've heard of, but maybe not really. Sorry, I'm going back to that Hallmark Christmas story and those kinds of things. But it's a good illustration of what it means to be united. So marriage, we're united. Sometimes you'll see even some towns that come together, churches come together. Sometimes you become a business partner with someone else, and you are united with them in common cause and those sorts of things. But as Christians, we are gloriously united with Jesus Christ, and we get all of the rights and privileges of being an adopted offspring of God through Christ. And what we've kind of are learning and experiencing in our understanding of this is a big deal. It shows up over 200 times in the New Testament, just references to in Christ Jesus, in Him. You've been blessed in Him. And that's a much bigger deal than we realize. So we kind of marched our way through Ephesians chapter 1 just to kind of be a little overwhelmed by it. I want to keep overwhelming you today. And so come with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We continue to see the significance, more of the significance of our union with Christ and what a big deal that is for us in the here and now. So in Ephesians 2, of course, we start with verses 1 through 3, which talks about our life before Christ. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Did you notice that all three of our spiritual enemies show up? The world, the flesh, the devil. And we were part of it. We were in the system. We were of the system. And not good. And that was our situation, spiritually dead. And then those glorious words in verse 4, but God took us when we were dead, and He unites us with Christ. I mean, we love to see, yes, we're spiritually dead. Now we're spiritually alive by God's grace. But for our purposes today, let's see different ways that union with Christ factors into this new change of status. All right, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Okay, God did this. This is his motivation for doing it. He was rich in mercy. He loved us incredibly. And even when we were dead, he united us with Jesus, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. So back in chapter 1, verse 20, he talks about Christ. He says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, talking about his power, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So God worked in Christ. He was dead, and God raised him from the dead. And now we learn that you were dead, and now you have been united with Jesus, raised and exalted. Now look at verse 6 of chapter 2, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we were raised with him, we were seated with him, and we are in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's like a triple union right there in one verse. Verse 7 keeps on going. It says, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He just doesn't stop. We have a glorious future ahead of us. It is going to be filled with immeasurable riches, and it's all because of his grace and kindness towards us, but it's all because we are in Christ Jesus. Last time, I read some theologians that made such a big deal about union with Christ, it seemed like, man, these guys, they have a little too much time on their hands here in their theology books. They're trying to fill out some pages to get their publisher's page count agreements or word count agreements going. They just keep going on and on about union with Christ. Well, it turns out these guys are right. This is so important for us to consider and to see again and again and again. All right, verses 8 and 9, familiar memory verses. A lot of people memorize these verses. They're very good. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Then we come to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I mean, being in Christ also means he's working in us to make us like Jesus. We are doing the things that he is about, good works. So this whole thing is a staggering reality, but I want to fill it out from other places in the Bible so that we can continue to just be a little bit overwhelmed. I don't mind if you're a little bit overwhelmed. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. This is good. All right. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So once again, in the past, in Christ Jesus, we were in the mind of God before time began. Okay. Then as Christ obeyed God on earth as our representative, it was like his obedience kind of gets credited to us. We see places like Romans 5:19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, talking about Adam and his influence on us, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So Jesus's work, he's living his life, and in him, we are credited with his righteousness. Of course, 2 Corinthians 5:21, fantastic passage. Another one that's really good to memorize as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, he, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, right? Jesus was perfectly holy and righteous, and yet God treated him as if he was filled with our sins when he died on the cross. So that, here's the purpose of God doing this incredible act of grace and kindness, in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So that when we believe in him, we are united with him. The benefits of his cross and resurrection are applied directly to our account. And we are credited with his righteousness. Just like God treated Jesus as if he had committed our sin and punished him on the cross, so now God treats us who believe in Jesus as if we are perfectly righteous like Jesus. That is incredible. That is glorious. We are so thankful to God for that wonderful reality that we have in Christ Jesus. So I hope the benefits of our union with Christ are just spilling out. I hope that this is just kind of one of those exercises for you where you go, these verses are so familiar. This little prepositional phrase, in him, in Christ Jesus, I think I've just kind of bumped over. But we need to pause on that speed bump. We need to think about it a little bit more seriously because this is great stuff. We are so thankful to God for uniting us with Jesus. We deserve God's wrath, but God has poured out his grace on those who believe in him. Well, we have to take a break. We're going to come back and consider more of these references, more of these realities about our union with Jesus Christ.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment, who continues his teaching on union with Christ this week. Imagine that you've inherited a fortune that you never knew existed, but you've spent your whole life living like you're broke because nobody ever told you what was already yours. That's most Christians and this doctrine with the union of Christ. I'm so appreciative of Dr. Kratz, how he's broken this down clearly over multiple weeks. And this type of teaching from Dr. Kratz is what you find every week here on Integrated, but also every single day here at Fortis Institute with all of our fellows. Download Fortis Plus right now while you've got the opportunity. You'll get content just like this from Dr. Kratz and also from Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Libby Glosson, Todd Friel. New material every single day. And the best part, there's no subscription fees. There's no paywall that you have to worry about because all of the content that we're delivering every day is absolutely free of charge. And if you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus, you're missing out on it. Go download Fortis Plus right now to see exactly what it is that I'm talking about. And the reason that this is free is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to join us to make sure more people in more places all over the world had access to this content as well. And you can join them by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner by visiting fortisinstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to come on board. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. During the break, I thought of a couple of more illustrations of union, right? I don't know the story. I should know the backstory of the greatest English football team, soccer team, Manchester United. Maybe that's the union of all of the great things about English soccer and put together in one glorious team, Manchester United. I'm totally kidding. I am a fan of Manchester United. I don't know exactly how the title came to be. course, here in Atlanta, we have Atlanta United, but I'm pretty sure they were just copying Manchester United. But we're thankful for our local team as well. But even our country, how about that? That's actually a good example. The United States of America, when we were founded 250 years ago this year, 2026, we were independent states or colonies that came together to be united into one new country. And so you can imagine, you know, sometimes we make jokes about different regions or observations about different regions of our country and idiosyncrasies, different accents, different things that you eat, different words that you use in different parts of the country, but we're all Americans. We're all part of the United States of America. And so that's an interesting connection as well. But we're talking about being united, Christians being united with Jesus, and we are the beneficiaries in every way. Our whole salvation is wrapped around this union with Christ. Well, we're continuing to work it out. We've spent some time in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, and now we're kind of looking around at some of the other places in the New Testament, which just fill out our understanding of the significance of our union with Christ. And I want us to go to Romans chapter 6, because Paul is very explicit to say, we are united with Jesus in his crucifixion and his resurrection. In verse 5 of Romans 6, he says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." And then in verse 8, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." So this is actually important and practical. It's not only reality. Yes, you are united with Christ, but he's breaking down individual parts of the life and ministry of Christ and pointing us to why that matters so much. And what we see is this matters a lot. There's a very real present application to us. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You now have new power to obey God. This is something that wasn't true before you were a Christian. So if you're not a Christian, I mean, can a non-Christian make changes in his life? Well, yes, externally, moralistically, self-discipline. Sometimes we trade one sin for another, you know, in some cases. You think of some of those people that, you know, get off of drugs by, Now I'm starting to do this instead, or that kind of thing, changing their habits. But when you get down to the heart level, real change isn't completely possible. You're still you. You know, you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But when you become a Christian, you are united to Jesus Christ. Your bondage to sin has been broken. You are set free. Why? Because you've been united with Jesus' death on the cross, and you've been united with his resurrection. And just like he is alive from the dead, you are spiritually alive from the dead. This is the exact application of Romans 6:11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. There's some mental work you need to do being in Christ Jesus. You need to think of yourself as dead to sin. Do not think, oh, this is just how I am. Oh, I guess I'll just might as well sin and get it over with. This temptation is just so strong. There's nothing I can do. That's a lie. And you need to stop believing lies. You need to believe what God says is true and right. That is, you are alive, you are changed, you are different because you have been united with Christ. God did this. God has taken you from your slavery and put you into a new relationship of freedom. And you need to not be mentally trapped in your old chains. Your chains to sin and the devil are broken because you're united with Jesus. So, of course, there's some old stories of the American South and when slavery was legal in our land. And when the Civil War happened and when the slaves were set free and granted their freedom, sometimes it was like a whole life, a whole generation, many generations that had been enslaved. And just because you take the chains off, so to speak, didn't mean that instantly there was a change of mentality. There was still a slave mentality for a time in certain stories. I'm sure there are plenty of stories of slaves that are like, I am out of here. I know what to do. I am doing this thing, because all men and women, boys and girls, are made in God's image. And that's fantastic. And we're so thankful to God for some of those stories as well. However, there were some stories where people didn't know what to do. This is what I am. This is who I am. And because of that mindset, there was no change in lifestyle for a time until reality set in. Well, I think that there's a lot of Christians living as if we're still enslaved to sin. But you, my brother, have been set free in Jesus Christ. You're united with him, specifically in his death and in his resurrection. Now, let me give you another one that's this present day impact. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus' real power flows through your formerly, you know, slave to sin self. I mean, yes, we still have remaining sin, but now we have new power and freedom. And we are united with Christ and we are able to bear spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit starts happening in your life. Why? Because you turned over a new leaf, because you thought, oh, I better work harder at my fruit of the Spirit. No, it's because you've been united with Jesus and his power is coursing through you spiritually. And good things are starting to happen. The Holy Spirit has moved in and is making changes. I've said before that one of the reasons I think I was saved when I was 16, even though I would have told you for a while I had just rededicated my life, is I started seeing real spiritual changes in my life at that point that weren't there before. I started liking people and loving people that I didn't even care about. It's like, where did that come from? It wasn't just me. It was God changing me from the inside out. This is great. We've already seen that we've been adopted in Christ. That comes up again in Romans chapter 8. It's glorious. It says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. We are fellow heirs with Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 is another application, just like in Romans chapter 6, where he talks about being united with his death and resurrection. I love the way Paul puts it in Colossians 3. He says, if then you've been raised up with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow, this is great. This is glorious. Mentally, we need to say there is a mind shift that needs to happen. This union with Christ stuff is big, big stuff, big time. It's a big deal. And it's true and right. And we had better think better about ourselves spiritually, not because of ourselves, but because of the one we are united with, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection. We draw near. He's the vine. We're the branches. He's the head. We're the body. And these change the way that we live. They change the way we respond. And may it be that God would help us to use this truth from God's word to put into practice a lifestyle that would match up with one who is united with Jesus.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.